Yo, 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 this is Steve. This is the second episode of the Stucky Podcast, and today we'll be going over my new book. You know, if you're hearing this, this episode will be dropping on November 4th, which is also my birthday, and yeah, going over my new book, what that's about, a new giveaway, which is going on for the month of November, and, you know, a few other things. So, let's start the intro.
What's up, you mother suckers? Get jiggy with us. You know why? Because we're stuck on an island.
Okay. So we're back to it. Again, this is the Stucky Podcast, episode 2. A lot has happened since I wouldn't say a lot has happened, but, you know, I've made a lot of headway. Mind you, this is literally the second podcast that I've done. And since my second podcast, I was able to get the podcast on Google Play, Stitcher, still working on TuneIn. It's on SoundCloud, so, you know, everything from the podcast I'm trying to do is for free. And so hopefully I could get sponsors, all that stuff. But for the most part, you know, I'm just putting stuff out there, seeing how people like it, trying to try new things and everything like that. So with that being said, today, I'm proud to announce that I am going to be releasing my 7th book, number seven. And so if you're looking at the podcast or if you're looking at the video screen, I got my 7th book in hand. It's called Risk Free. I made it over the summer. It's part of a art competition, not an art competition, but like an art a day exhibition. And it was, it was a really, really good experience. I'll go through all those details later. But for the most part, like I'm really, really excited about it. I'll talk about the giveaway that I'll be doing at the end. I'll actually be going over the actual book and allowing people to have a free digital copy. And, you know, if they want to write reviews about it and stuff like that, then they could enter for a chance to win a free digital copy or a free physical copy. So it'll be signed and I'll draw a little picture in it and everything. And so without further ado, let's get after it. So risk free. Let me just load it up, get the page view real quick in read mode. Okay, so Risk Free, the digital edition. So Risk Free is a book that I made, and it was based off of a prompt that I wanted to do for this art a day exhibition. And the whole thing was to get a theme, and for every day in the month of June, it was either like June or July, just make a new art piece, something that resonates with you, and then put it out there. And then at the end of it, the Columbia Art Center, which I do a lot of stuff with at Hood River, they're going to exhibit it in their gallery. And so I gave myself a little bit of, a particular theme. Originally, since I was studying for the MCAT, I wanted to make this project that was pretty simple, but also related to the stuff that I was working on at that moment. So since I was studying for the MCAT, I had the idea of making a visual, like, MCAT book. But then I slowly felt that, you know, just doing that whole project while I'm studying and still trying to master the material would have, you know, it would have been difficult. And so from there, I decided to, you know, with everything that's been going on with, you know, like the like Barbecue Becky and parking or Permit Patty, all those different things. I just started thinking about a whole lot of different ways to tell a meaningful story. And as usual, I'll always try to like tell meaningful stories within my work. And this was something that kind of just resonated with me. You know, one from a personal level of, you know, dealing with injustices and all those different things. But also, I felt like it lended itself for a opportunity to teach and, you know, connect people in a way that wouldn't necessarily be met. And especially for this art exhibition, it was something that I wanted to make a statement about and stuff like that. And so what I did is I ended up getting, you know, some markers because I mostly work in ink. So I ended up getting some markers. I ended up getting a 30-page sketchbook. And I literally just like every single day I would, you know, sketch out a page and then I would just like ink it and do a whole bunch of different things with it. And so it was definitely one of those experiences where I put a lot into it, but I limited myself to just about like an hour, no more than an hour or two per image, just because I was doing a whole lot of other things with it. But as we go through the book, I'll discuss a whole lot of, you know, the details that you know, went behind my approach. So with that being said, here we go. So Risk Free, digital edition, by Stephen Christian. So we have the cover. With that, since I'm giving away a digital, pretty much anybody could have a digital copy, especially for the month of November, I wanted to push, you know, the opportunity of getting more and more book reviews. And so right now the book is on Goodreads, it's on Amazon, it's on Barnes and Nobles. And so if you could give me a good review for Amazon, a book review for Goodreads, I would greatly appreciate it. And again, you get a free digital copy, so definitely check that out. And I'll put all the links in the description of the podcast and everything too. Or if you're seeing this on YouTube, I'll put that in the description as well. Okay, so first starts off with the comic, and we'll go after it. So, and that is why the most threatened population in the society that the media continues to ignore is the silent, God-fearing majority. Thank you, Petrie, for that valuable insight on the assault on Christmas. Thomas Jenkins, your presentation on the risk of existing in a free world is next. Hey class, James Baldwin so eloquently wrote, to be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in rage almost all the time. So that the first problem is how to control that rage so that it won't destroy you. But what does that actually mean to be relatively conscious? And when you gain that consciousness, how does that affect your view of the world? The big question is, how does consciousness affect the way you exist in a world full of risks and rewards? Is the risk worth the reward? To stroll down the street without saying a peep, with those J's on your feet, is it worth it? To whistle to a beat is no large feat. If you reduce left feet, is it worth it? To shoot up a prayer and throw faith in the air, you're just looking for peace. Is it worth it? To put up a fight and stand with all might, it's our constitutional right. Is it worth it? To fall into Zen, deep breaths up to 10, you're just searching for balance. Is it worth it? To ball on the bricks or win on the sticks? If you break their ankles, is it worth it? To flex on a sucker is disrespect to a buster. Gold chain, gold wrist, gold neck, is it worth it? To need for speed or obey the signs you read, to all the dangers you heed, is it worth it? To complete a task, determination will ask, if there are cracks on the path, is it worth it? To stack up cheese or find a niche with ease, if you break that glass ceiling, is it worth it? To lend a hand or donate what you can, to be a gentleman, is it worth it? To put in work, whether long or short, sweat equity, is it worth it? To kick back, relax, and enjoy the wranglers they may deploy. Your phone is no more a toy. Is it worth it? To energize your life and start the day off right, honing it may cause you strife. Is it worth it? To let it sprinkle may provoke some people. If you dodge soil from tinkle, is it worth it? To chill at the crib before the couch you call dibs, in the domain that you live, is it worth it? To save a friend is a splendid trend, but giving a soul amend, is it worth it? To take the train is an utter pain. If you expand your range, is it worth it? To study for weeks, teen spirit the room weeks, if you sleep around geeks, is it worth it? To tame the beast is noble when beat, but to risk defeat, is it worth it? To boys and their toys, imagination enjoys, if creativity employs, is it worth it? To stuff your face, whether picnic or base, it leads to disgrace, is it worth it? To charcoal meat, you may trigger elite, for seasoned, simple fare, is it worth it? To stand your ground keeps you safe and sound, but bearing arms, is it worth it? To sell charms may spark alarms, if enterprise is free, is it worth it? To pull loose weeds or take care of needs, if you do no harm, is it worth it? To eat hot cakes with syrup and shakes, if you love whatever you bake, is it worth it? To kneel high stakes, you jeopardize and advocate, if time awaits the greats, is it worth it? To take long breaks from the pains and the aches, if you rest too late, is it worth it? To express with pen and give voice to the men, regardless if you win, is it worth it? To swim with a friend until summer's end, if you seek a grin, is it worth it? To quench your wind or generate to spin, if barren maws offend, is it worth it? Through freedom of expression with creativity and aggression, may fear and awaken a middle-class Amerisapien. Even mere existing, you may end up missing. Remember your meaning and keep your sparkle gleaming. Yes, life is hard, full of battle scars. As you ponder afar, ask yourself if it is worth it. What the flip? I thought you said those pictures was going to get my modeling career popping. Oh my God. If I see you in the street, you gonna catch this fade. Thank you, Thomas, for that valuable insight on the risk of existing in a free world. Roscoe Thomason, your presentation on why the Player Haters Ball is the most underappreciated event of modern society is up next. The end. So I tried to throw a little comedy in there at the end, you know, by having Roscoe is essentially realize that if you're actually looking at the book, it's essentially TJ, one of my characters, he was telling the whole story, and then and throughout the story you see different pictures of Roscoe in these different situations, and at the end of the project. We all realized that Roscoe was actually a model in all the pictures, and TJ was the photographer, and apparently TJ convinced Roscoe to take all the pictures in order to get his modeling career popping, because, you know, Roscoe be like clout chasing a little bit. And so instead of realizing his modeling career is going to get popping, he realized that he was just a guinea pig, or is just a prop in TJ's project. And so he gets upset because he feels like he's been exploited and he's not getting any money for it. And so I just wanted to throw that in there just so it fits within the scheme of the whole world of Illtopia that I built. But aside from the point, then at the end, there's like a sketchbook. I also have my original poem that I started off with. Afterwards, I ended up expanding the whole thing from like 15 or 16 pieces to 32. And so each one of these represents a very specific piece. And so it gives you a little bit of like processes, progress shots and stuff like that at the end, how I made it, and kind of like a statement of what this meant to me. And so I'll actually read it. Because it meant a lot to me in terms of why I wanted to create this project, and just everything that was going on. So like I said earlier, I got the idea, or shifted the idea, from like trying to do like an MCAT inspired thing to an actual, social commentary, because during this time, this was the time where, you know, more and more stories were coming out of people getting, you know, black people specifically, black kids, black people were getting the cops calling them for like the most mundane of things. And you're just like, dang, you know, like people barbecuing, people selling, you know, stuff on the street, people just going to the pool, people using water fountains, all these different things. And, you know, I just started to see a trend after a while. And so, with social media, everything is coming to the forefront. I just felt like it was one of those things that were, you know, we have to discuss as a society, you know, and, it as I looked at it, you know, on the surface, it was one of those things where you're looking at, okay, you know, it's always, excuse me, you know, it's always one of those things where, you know, older, like white women and stuff like that, they're going around and they're just calling the cops on people just because they feel threatened or whatever they feel entitled to. But on a deeper level, it's more of a, you know, a conversation on, you know, the consequences of actions and how actions, dictate how people see you and how those actions impact your life. And so, you know, we live in a free society, and at the forefront of being in a free society, we have the liberty and the opportunity to create things. We have the liberty and the opportunity to connect with people. We can express ourselves the way we want. and we shouldn't be defined by all that stuff. But then you have these, you have all these things that are literally getting in the way of your liberty, you know? And if we live in America, you have, it's, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if you're infringing on one of those, then I feel like that is the antithesis of us as, you know, Americans. You know, we all pay taxes. We all do those things that, that I feel are, you know, human rights, rights for us to live and exist. And for somebody to try to take that away from us just because they feel uncomfortable or just because they feel like it's their civic duty to police others when they don't have any jurisdiction for is, you know, it's to me, it's un-American. And I mean, it's rude. It's being a prick. And so from this, I tried to create it as a book that transcends race, transcends all these different things. And I tried to use it as more of like a, you know, my approach is more of like the Dr. Seuss sort of feel, where you have a picture, you have different elements, and all these elements were essentially, all these images were essentially different pictures that, that historically, you know, have specific cases, around them, you know, sitting on a stoop, praying, all these things, you know, the black people that are depicted in here, the things that Roscoe are depicting, these have all led to, you know, black people either getting thrown in jail, you know, being arrested, being publicly humiliated, or killed, you know, from like, you know, shootings in churches, to the Black Panthers, to just doing yoga, playing basketball, just being pulled over because you're riding in a nice car, you know, riding your bike, being a paper boy, just trying to get money, you know, like trying to earn a living, trying to help the homeless, mowing the lawn, literally, you know, literally sleeping on a tractor in a parking lot, obviously Starbucks, and then I also wanted to take it back a little bit and show that, you know, things like this have always been happening, you know, because I feel like people forget that segregation, like people were living through segregation. People that are alive today grew up in segregation. You know, I think my girlfriend's dad, you know, grew up in segregation, you know, where there was white and, you know, colored water fountains and drinking fountains and, you know, bathrooms. You know, like people were going to jail. People were getting killed. People were offended for black people using the same bathroom as them and drinking the same water as them. You know, I think I saw a meme where somebody posted that, you know, they talk about how millennials are, you know, snowflakes, but nobody ever mentions that. Back in the old days when America, quote unquote, was great, that people were outraged when black people used their water fountains and drink and bathrooms, you know. And so talking about how like people have, you know, are looking for a reason to be triggered and how they can't take any sort of criticism. But you guys can't deal with, you know, somebody using the same water fountain or drink or water fountain or bathroom. Like it's, you know, it's a. Feel like people tend to forget that stuff. And so I wanted to approach these images that are like nice, fun, and playful, but also have a lot of have a deeper meaning to them. And you know, it was definitely a very good experience to work on this, just because it allowed me to, you know, tell that story and have these different things to where, you know, you could see the individual art pieces and they look very fun and like colorful and stuff like that. But then when you really dig deeper into it, you're like, oh, wow, that is a scene that, you know, lends to, you know, a bad ending that you wouldn't expect. And you see those throughout the book and you wouldn't get that just on the surface of it. You're just looking at all these different things. And so with it, the overall message wasn't to, you know, talk about how, you know, black people were, what that, you weren't talking that you're not talking about how black people, I'm not talking about how black people are, you know, like it's horrible for black people or anything like that. Really, the deeper message is that, you know, in the context of all the things that we see, like, I wanted to show that, you know, you have to be conscious of your, you have to be conscious of everything that you do. You know, growing up black, you know, you, everybody that I know, like, even my father, you know, I grew up, he was, you know, in law enforcement, a lot of, like, the you know, the significant male figures in my life, they all were in law enforcement. You know, they played football, they did all those things. So I like, come from a different perspective of, like, you know, my dad was a cop. You know, my dad worked in law enforcement, and I still had to, he still gave me that talk of, you know, why I shouldn't walk around or have a paintball gun in my car or an airsoft gun, you know, or, you know, why I shouldn't do certain things or why, what I need to be aware of, why I need to make sure that, like, my tags and, like, my headlights and my rear view mirrors and everything are, you know, all good. You know, I need to make sure that, like, I need to keep my hair cut. I need to make sure that, like, I come across as somebody that has an education, because he's experienced those things. My mom has experienced those things. And it's just a way of life, you know. And so when I got to college, I mean, not really in college, you know, like growing up in middle school and everything like that, you realize that certain people just don't get those talks, aren't exposed to those different things. And so as they grow up, you know, their worldview is warped in a way. And it's just really, it was just always really interesting. And I would say, like, it wasn't until I moved to Portland where, you know, people were, like, kind of fake woke. I always look at them as, I always consider, like, Portlanders as, you know, the people in Berkeley that, like, aren't really about living in trees. You know, like, they say that, you know, they're about that life, but they're really not about that life, you know? Like, they're not gonna, you know, abandon their fireplace for a treehouse, you know? And so, you know, I always get a kick out of it because there's people that, you know, are quote unquote allies, but some concepts just go over their head, you know. And mind you, like most of the popular things that have been happening over the past year in terms of, like, you know, black people getting the cops called on them for just living while black, essentially, were happening in the Bay Area, you know, Lake Merritt, you know, San Francisco, those places that are, like, quote unquote liberal. You know, you still see, you know, that underlying racism, you know, where people feel comfortable and feel entitled to, you know, control other people just because they feel entitled to, you know, it's just one of those things. And so, you know, to be a little more meta, I would say, or to, you know, talk about more deeper issues. Really, the issue that I wanted to talk about is just accountability, you know, understanding that, you know, and using the black experience as an example, just wanted to talk about how, you know, you can only control your actions, and your actions can only get you so far. You have to be aware of how you look. You have to be aware of how you're approaching people, how you talk. All those different things that that black people just in general on average have to think about as they traverse, you know, the world. You know, do I in my body, do I come across as too aggressive? You know, do I come across as all these things? How do people see me regardless of how I see myself? You know, me personally, I went through this phase where, you know, I used to have longer hair. I was a football player. It's like, you know, over 6 feet, you know, it was big, I had muscles, all that stuff. And then I got to the point where it's like, you know, like, I need to, if I don't want to get unwanted attention towards myself, I need to proactively present myself a certain way. You know, I cut my hair, I started wearing glasses. I, when I finished playing football, I lost all that weight. You know, I finished up playing, I was like 215, you know, I was like a good 215, like I was like six, 6'5", 215, like, you know, less than 6-7% body fat. And I instantly dropped to like 180, you know, like obviously my body fat percentage went up, cut my hair, wore glasses, all those different things. So I look less aggressive. I look less intense to people when I approach people. You know, I work as a, you know, I do contract work. I make books. I do conventions and stuff, but I also work as a personal trainer. And, you know, there's always times, especially when I started working there, that, you know, there are always times where people would, you know, say like, oh yeah, you know, like he's a really nice guy and stuff like that. Like he's not rude or anything, but you know, he comes across as like a little aggressive, or, you know, like he neglects, you know, our complaints and stuff like that. And that stuff is just really, really frustrating at some point, because you're like, okay, you know, in terms of customer service, what can I do to, you know, make people feel comfortable, you know, play certain music, all those different things. And then at the end of the day, like, people still have this preconceived notion of you. And it's always, you know, people won't say like, oh yeah, you know, he's just, you know, he's like, yeah, me, I'm not even dark. Like, he just comes across as aggressive, or he comes across as very cold and off-putting, and, you know, kind of a, you know, kind of has like a chip on his shoulder and stuff. And, you know, those are like subtle keywords that you pick up on just over the course of going through like higher education and stuff like that. You know, there's certain keywords that you pick up on that like mean different things, you know. And I'm not really going to go into it like that, but it's, you know, it's a lived experience that, you know, a particular group of people experience on a regular basis and understand without having to actually be, you know, fleshed out. And so, with that, you know, like, I'll just read the last part, of the book, is that, like, although many of the specifics pertain to the Black community, the overarching message is that we live in a land of opportunities. With that freedom, we should know everything we do does not happen in a vacuum. And it doesn't. Nothing happens in a vacuum. Everything is connected to something. We may not go about our days committing crimes, but our actions have consequences that we have no control over. Those consequences impact how we interact with others and how the world sees us. No, being a prick and spewing hate is not a crime. We have our First Amendment right and all that stuff. But just because you aren't committing a crime doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. You know, like, people talk about building a wall and like all these things. It's like, yeah, yeah, you know, there's politics involved and stuff like that. I understand that. But at some point, you know, you have to stop being a prick. You know, like, a perfect example is the Megyn Kelly situation, where, you know, she's had a history of, you know, talking to literally like shutting people down and taking her opinions and trying to make them facts for other people. And so, you know, talking about how, like, you know, Santa Claus and Jesus are white people, and that, like, anybody else that thinks otherwise is stupid. And, I mean, she didn't say that exactly, but she said that, like, on her show, like, stop acting like Jesus and, Santa Claus aren't white, 'cause they are, and stuff like that. And then talking about the blackface thing, and, you know, these are actions, and these actions, no, they weren't illegal. You know, she has her freedom of speech, but those actions have consequences, especially in the workplace and especially with those public platforms, you know. And I feel like people will try to get their own personal views involved and try to claim them as facts. And then, you know, then that's where the problems arise, and people will treat them accordingly. You know, like, if you say some, you know, racist stuff, doesn't matter how you feel inside. Those racist things mean that you're a racist, regardless of how you feel, you know, just like with anything else. If you say some prick stuff, people will say that you're a prick because you're a prick. You know, if you commit a crime, those crimes define you, you know, like, and no, you can't go into somebody's mind, but that's how it is. And so, you know, for me, it's always a conversation, because I deal with a lot of teachers at work, and the biggest thing is consequences. You know, like people, the big thing for them is they try to teach people, teach kids that, you know, like if you do your work, you get rewarded. If you don't do your work, you get punished. You know, each action has a consequence, regardless of what it is. And you have to be aware that all those consequences are very real things. And so where was I? You know, aren't committed crimes doesn't mean that you should do it. On the flip side, being a good person isn't always good enough when the world sees you as something else. For some, that is the hardest pill to swallow. No matter what we do personally, we cannot control others. That is the price of freedom. As cryptic as it sounds, the sooner you accept that notion as fact, the sooner you can focus on the literal, or what really matters, which is living your best life. You know, that's ultimately what it comes down to. It's like, we have all these risks, we have all these things, and, you know, even though it seems like you're walking on eggshells sometimes, I mean, for me, I've always felt like I've been walking on eggshells for a while. Just making sure, as I'm trying to get into medical school, making sure that I'm, you know, dotting my I's, crossing my T's, all those different things. But at the end of the day, you know, like, if it becomes debilitating for you, it becomes one of those things that you can't control. You know, you can't control every little thing. You know, you can't control if your car breaks down. You can't control if, you know, there's an accident on the road. You can't control if, you know, you're trying to get sleep and then somebody is, you know, like being noisy outside, or if you live across the street from a school like I do, you can't control if they have a football game that goes late. You know, you can't control those things, but you can control your actions and how you respond to them. And so, you know, the world isn't perfect and everything isn't always predictable. You can map out your life as much as you can, but, you know, life happens, and that's a very real thing. And so it's just a matter of, you know, how you navigate that world and how you need to just be, you know, consistent with it. And if you do, the sooner you do that, the sooner you accept it, the better off you'll be in the long run. And that's the big thing from this, is that you want to have the opportunity to pursue everything that you want, but you don't want to hinder other people, and you don't want other people to hinder you. And so the more you kind of control what you can do and just accept that some things just happen, the better off you're going to be, the easier it is to focus on other things. You know, like, I've had hip surgeries, you know, over the course of my football journey. And yeah, that freaking sucked. You know, I literally still deal with all those problems now. You know, I my hips lock up, all those different things. But at the end of the day, you have to realize that those are just the cards that you were dealt with, you know, and regardless of how bad it is, you know, cancer, all those different things, you know, you still have life to live. And, you know, you could easily, you know, have your life cut short just going to work, you know, or just walking your kid to school, or just being in school. Or you could have your, like, you know, you can't control those things. You know, I always, whenever I get into this moment where I'm like always worried about what to do next, you know, and lose track of, you know, literally just living life in the moment, I always think about, you know, how easy it is to just, you know, die from a toaster explosion, or die from, you know, different things like that. Like, it's... like, those are very real things. You know, just the probability of just getting in a car crash and, you know, getting in a car accident and having your life change from that. Those things are really high, but we don't really have those at the forefront of our minds. We're always worried about, you know, immigrants coming and killing us, or, you know, getting in, you know, plane accidents, or, you know, like somebody robbing you, stuff like that. All these, like, you know, crazy out of the box things that do happen, but don't happen very often. You know, we never realize that, like, you know, our phones could blow up in our pockets and all that stuff, you know, which also happens to us as well. And so, you know, it's like this project for me, I would say, obviously, it's my seventh book, you know, it's a book that I worked on and stuff like that. But it's one of those things that, like, I've always appreciate it, And it's one of those things that, like, I think can start a conversation, you know? So if anybody is interested, you guys can go to gumroad.com. Let me see if I can find it. Gumroad.com/illtopia. GUMROAD.com/ILTOPIA. You could go down to risk free. It's risk free digital giveaway. You click it and you could donate what you want. So it says zero plus right there. So if you want to donate to it, feel free to. Otherwise, it's free. You just go down and you click download or I want this. The book is 44 pages. It's a PDF, so you can, you know, it shouldn't take up too much room on your thing. You just click it. I think type in your email address and it'll send you an email address or it'll send you an email link for it. Or you could pre-order it. By the time you see this, it will be November 4th. Which is also my birthday. And so, you know, you can shoot me a happy birthday if you like. If you don't care, you know, so be it. You know, I'm not going to hold people hold it against them for that. But you could go to Amazon. You could type in risk-free. It's in paperback. You could pre-order a copy. Or if you want to write a customer review, just write a review. Give me 1 to 5 stars. Hopefully you give me 5 stars, but you know, I'm not gonna hold it against people. But if you do that, you can go to Barnes and Noble's, do the same thing. Or if you're like a member of Goodreads, you could do that as well. Again, Risk Free by Stephen Christian. And then from there, at the end of November, I will put all the review names in a raffle, and I will give 10 lucky winners a signed copy of the book. I'll throw in some stickers. I'll do a whole bunch of different things just to show my appreciation, you know. If not, feel free not to. You know, just check out the book. I would greatly appreciate a review. You know, I'm in this phase of my creative endeavors. I feel like I'm at the point now where, you know, I have a job, you know, I'm not freelancing. I'm not doing anything else but studying, working and creating. And I'm at the point where I could afford to just create without having to worry about, you know, the financial burden of all those things. You know, it was really liberating to sit, like, order like 50 copies of my new book and not have to stress about how I'm going to pay for it. You know, I would like to make money off of it, but I'm not creating this stuff to make money off of it. You know, I would like to get it to a point, like, in with my podcast and all that stuff to, so that, you know, it's self-sustaining, but at the point I'm supplementing, doing other stuff for other people in order to do the stuff that I like for people. And so with that, you know, definitely check out the stuff. Let me know, since my podcast is on Google Play and Stitcher and all those things. I'm trying to get it on iTunes right now, but, you know, people that know me, they know how I feel about Apple products and iTunes and stuff like that. It's definitely given me a lot more hassles. And so hopefully that works. But give me a good review. You know, shoot me a message on Twitter. Let me know how you feel about the podcast. If there's anything that, like, you want me to talk about, let me know about that stuff. And yeah, you know, without any further ado, I think this will end the podcast. Dang, 45 minutes. Yeah, 45 minutes. So, you know, I tried to do a 15-minute podcast. It ended up being 45 minutes. That's what happens. So I will